start with your own network.
Exactly. And then, you know, at the end of that, maybe at the back of the coupon book, there's a little, you print one page that's, or when you're signing up, you take email addresses, okay? Just have them write it down, okay?
Yep.
And then you have it. And then 2 months from then, when people are saying, well, who's this coupon queen of Tulsa, Oklahoma? Where did she come from? And how can I get my pizza parlor promoted by her? Then all of a sudden, all she has to do is send an email, okay?
Yep.
And anybody who brings in her coupon, she, you know, gets 5 cents on their order, whatever it takes.
Yep.
But that's exactly how you build an empire. You start with what you can.
Baby steps.
Right.
Yep.
And then you take those profits and you put them back into the business. Once you have a little money, enough money that you saved, and remember you did that garage sale because you got rid of those DVDs that you really didn't need anymore and the exercise equipment that nobody's using.
Yep.
You take that money and you reinvest it in the business in a smart way. Yes, you do need a website, but you don't need to be spending $100 a month for it. Okay?
Right.
If you don't know the information, ask someone you trust. Ask someone who would know and who can help you with it. Most people just don't ask for the information. That's the problem.
Yeah. So that's cool. You just basically start off from your own network. Once you start making a bit of money, reinvest it into the company, and then start the company growing that way.
Exactly.
Step by step by step.
Yep.
So would you then start selling personally, if you just basically started off now, would you start off in the digital arena on the internet, or would you start out with tangible goods or combination of both, or what would you do?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I think my ability lies in digital products right now. I worked with it for, you know, I was doing e-commerce before there really was e-commerce. I was working with Mark Joyner, and I have a fair amount of leverage there. I have all this time that I put into research. Of course I'll do that first. If that's where my intended prospects are. And yes, they are. If I look at both my short-term prospects and my long-term prospects, yeah, they're both on the internet.
Okay.
And it's a viable way to reach them. If it wasn't, no, I wouldn't. If I thought door-to-door would be better, then I'd go door-to-door.
Okay. If you were, let's pick an industry out of the air. Okay, let's say you're in a financial planning company. You own a financial planning company. Would you use the internet, or how would you use the internet, basically to increase your sales from what you're doing now, which is probably direct mail and telephone sales?
I will use the internet where it is more efficient.
Okay.
Okay. In that situation, it is probably going to be more efficient for providing basic information. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I would probably have some sort of about page, a sales page, something that gets people to understand what it is that we have to offer.
Okay.
And that's probably about all I need on there.
Right.
Because
just basically,
I don't think most people are going to be comfortable doing financial transaction. You're talking about like portfolio planning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think most people would be comfortable doing that just over the internet because it's really not effective enough for interactive dialogue.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would basically have the internet would be a good lead generation system, and then
right.
You would go to the one-on-one, more personal, either on the phone or one-on-one meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
That's cool.
With internet forums, you know, it's been a craze for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's really highly touted as this amazing marketing method. But if you are in a geographic area, it probably isn't, because most people are not identifying themselves on the internet by a local geographic area.
Right. Yeah.
It really doesn't make that any more efficient or effective. You know, right. People meet each other in a local geographic area because they go to the same schools, or the same dance club, or the same restaurant, because their paths cross where it's more efficient. It doesn't really make sense to have, you know, a club for a tennis club for with people in Boston and San Diego. So if you're selling tennis rackets and you're not going to ship them, you're probably not going to have much to do with the internet.
Right. Yep.
Really doesn't make sense.
Really, very much dependent on your business,
mm-hmm.
whether
yeah,
it's going to be helpful or not.
Although it might be integrated, you know, if like we said, if you're selling those you know, Boston related tennis rackets, uh-huh. You may need to do your promotion offline, but take your orders online.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So just combine the
whichever step is more efficient.
Right. Yep.
Because you can take that efficiency and pass it on to the customer by giving them a better offer. If you can give a better offer, you can probably reap more revenue in the short term and reinvest that to making an even better offer, lowering your costs, making things more efficient, capitalizing on economies of scale, and there you've just put yourself in a position to make yourself stronger with every period of time.
Right. So what about you then personally? If you we use you as a good example. You design a digital product. Well, we can use specifics the spam-free email system that you've come up with. Now that's good. That is a digital product. How are you going to get people to your website to start the ball rolling?
All right. For this particular product, a lot of it is going to be that advertorial that we talked about.
Okay.
I will write articles and explain to people, one of them might be different methods of spam prevention and their effectiveness.
Okay.
Okay. I will take that article and both submit it to the e-zine article archives. There's a couple of them, and I have a list of them.
Okay.
But I'm not going to just bank on that, because that's a low bet. All right.
Do you know any, which ones of those would you use? Like the e-zine, the article banks.
I really don't have that information in front of me. I might be able to email it to you, and you can send it out to your subscribers.
Okay, sure.
But for this product, I'm probably going to try to target some users. It's a really broad prospect base because there's absolutely no there's no price barrier. It's free, so anyone can afford it.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And it doesn't restrict itself to geographic or you know, other political barriers. Okay.
Right.
So I don't have to just focus on the U.S. or a particular state. It applies to the whole world, and it doesn't really apply to businesses or organizations. It's only to personal users.
Okay.
That's the one limitation of it.
Okay.
And it applies to anyone who uses email. So that's a really huge, huge subscriber base. And each of those advertorials is going to drive people to, you know, or mention the website www.savemyemail.org. When people go there and read about the system and the tactics and methods that are in there, they'll be excited about it, and they'll click on it, and they'll just have to put in their email address, and then they'll get the information. And they can use it, they can start it right away, they can put it away for later if they want to. I think most people will just be really, really excited about putting this into practice right away. I still believe that it is absolutely revolutionary, and I don't want to hold this back. This is not something that I want to be the email guy for the rest of my life, for the rest of the world.
Yep.
Okay? If I was like that, I would probably be positioning myself by selling this information at a really low cost.
Uh-huh.
You know, how much is your time worth to you? And how much is an hour of Terry's time?
Right. Yeah.
Probably somewhere above minimum wage, I would hope.
Yeah.
So if it's going to save you even just an hour of sorting spam, and that's, you know, that's a really, really low, really low estimate.
Yeah.
Just an hour a month, you know, it's, I don't know, it's hundreds of dollars of years worth.
Exactly.
But I'm going to give this information away. And the reason that I want to do this is I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. I don't want to build a whole affiliate program for it and have to deal with all the time that it would take me to try to promote it in that avenue. I would rather just give the information away, have people happy about it, and use that success as leverage in the future.
Right, okay.
And so that's why I've decided to do it this way, and that's why all you have to do is go to the website and sign up and read the information, and I swear to you it's not anything you're expecting.
So this basically would be a great way, by offering a free product that is definitely in high demand, to start building yourself a list that you can actually promote to later.
Yeah, I am interested in having a list to promote, but I'm not the type who would take this list and then promote a whole lot of irrelevant offers to it.
Right,
I'm looking here. There are some sales opportunities that are built into it. I'm not going to try to tell you that that's not what happens here.
Yeah.
But there's no obligation to take any of those offers to make this work.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I'll show you how to do it without it, but it may save you time if you use some of the offers.
Okay.
And each of those would provide some residual income for me. And you know, that's enough to make it worth it to do this, but it's exponentially more valuable simply just to be able to point to this and say I successfully was able to run this, have this program reach a million people, and
right,
it's, yep, and it's in use. Because what I really want to do is not be the email guy. It's about being the you know, music business guy.
Right. Yep. So how does this fit into the music business guy title?
When I go to get those interviews, mm-hmm, I mean, of course, once I have this email list, I'll probably, you know, send an email or two, you know, something along the lines of, "Do you know a struggling musician?"
Yep.
And when they do that, then of course I'm leveraging that. So it'll be a quick way to jumpstart some of those subscribers, but it'll also, it's another thing to add credibility.
Right. Yep. So that you can actually go to anyone who's kind of in the promotion side of the music business and say, you know, look, what I did with my online business is this formula. Here's what happened. I have a million people on my mailing list. We can basically plug in the same formula for you and develop the same type of system for you and your business.
Right.
Okay, so it's really very much a credibility issue. Not so much that you take that exact, the details of your email program and try to incorporate them into the music business, but taking that formula that you've used and incorporate it into something that would work in the music business as well.
Exactly. Terry, you understand things very well.
I've been around the block a bit. So where would you say then, in the whole process, where does marketing and sales, like in the whole campaign, the marketing sales campaign, where's the split? Where does marketing end and sales take over?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. Do you know, are you familiar with accounting?
Oh, God, math and I do not agree.
Okay. Right.
Sorry, no, I'm familiar with accounting in a very, very, very limited aspect.
Well, in accounting, you generally have accounts that are broken up this way. Your liabilities would be broken up into long-term liabilities and current liabilities. They're both they're both services that are due, okay? But one is short-term and one is long-term.
That is the way
that I distinguish marketing and sales, okay?
What would an example be, a short-term, long-term liability?
What
would an example be, like a short-term and long-term liability?
A long-term liability in accounting might be long-term debt. Like you took out a 5-year loan this year.
Okay, yep.
So
gotcha.
That's not due for 5 years. But a short-term liability could be, products deliverable. It's somebody's already paid you for something that you haven't shipped yet.
Okay, yep.
And it's due within the next month.
Okay, super.
Those are both things that need to be delivered, and so they're both classified as liabilities, but there's short-term and there's long-term.
Okay, yep.
And that changes the way that investors look at a company when they're looking at the balance sheet. But I bring that up only as a metaphorical example. Sales and marketing. Sales is what you do in the short term to increase the number of people that will buy.
Okay.
Marketing is the things that you do to get people to buy indefinitely.
Okay.
That is the way that I look at it. And when I think of it that way, it actually helps integrate things a whole lot more. I really believe that most things should be about direct response, direct selling. Ask somebody to do it now. If they can't, they won't. But if you instill that desire to do it now, that's better than instilling the desire to do it later when they could have done it now.
Right, okay. Yep.
Follow?
Gotcha.
Now, the problem with most salespeople or people who are only of a sales mindset is then you're stuck with shortchanging the future for the present. You know, you'll look at people who or businesses that will, just offer a discount willy-nilly because they need to make their sales mark by the end of the month.
Right, yep.
Right? So you go to the car dealership, and because they need to sell 3 more cars in the next day, and the car really hasn't been performing that well, they'll give you a rebate to where they don't even make any money on it. Then the next time you go back, you just wait till the end of the month, and you get the rebate again, and they don't make any money again.
Right.
Now, that may have been effective sales to get you to buy that one car, but it's not effective marketing because you've then taught your customer how to not buy even when they might want to.
I gotcha.
You follow?
Yep, yep. So your marketing really is pretty much the branding or the way that you want people to see your company, and your sales is the actual dollars across the table.
Yeah, that's a good way of breaking it up as well. When you market, you're going to establish a rapport.
Yep.
That says this is what we do when you're looking for this.
Right. Yep.
And that teaches them. I believe like I told you with the copy for the hypnotic writing swipe file.
Yeah.
That marketing should educate you.
Right.
And most of the most successful marketing educates people.
So how do you get that? Now I think your beautiful example for that is the advertorial. How do you get people to read an advertorial and then take action and buy your product right now that they've read the advertorial?
There's that really is the art of copywriting. And I say it is an art because you have to practice. I can't tell you whether everybody has the skill for it or not.
They
probably do. You know, everybody probably has it in them, but
some of it's very, very buried in some people.
Right, right.
Reading some of the emails I get.
For some of you, it might not be worth it to put the time into developing that skill.
Yeah. I think for some people, and myself included, I mean, I enjoy writing, but I am not a good copywriter. I think when it comes to the point of writing copy, it's much better for me to source a good copywriter, somebody I respect, because I've read their copy and they like it. I think it's much better for some, you know, to go out and pay the money to have somebody write copy that's going to be effective, as opposed to, you know, spending the 2 or 3 months that I think I probably would need to actually establish something, you know, a piece of work that might be somewhat good.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's fine. You don't have to waste your time trying to do everything the hard way and do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there are certain things, Terry, that you're great at, and that's why I subscribe to your newsletter. You know, and that's why I've listened to, you know, most of the interviews that you've put through your newsletter so far. But if you don't want to write copy, you probably don't have to. There's plenty of people who can do things well. Yeah, from economics, I learned the story of the lawyer and the secretary.
Right.
That the lawyer could type faster than the secretary.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And it used to annoy him because he could have written 60 letters in a day, where she could only write 40.
Yeah.
All right. But when it came to the briefings, you know, he can do 4 briefings in a day, where she could only do 1 every 2 days.
Okay.
So when he got mad and went over to type the letters, how many briefings got done?
4.
No, when he wasn't doing the briefings, when he was doing the letters,
yep.
He gets 60 letters.
Okay, sorry.
But they only get a half of a briefing a day.
Okay, yep.
Right? Now, when you look at the opportunity cost there, it's not worth it. He should just live with it and either find a faster secretary or accept that just because he's a pretty good typist does not mean that he should stop doing the briefings because he is at a relatively higher rate of value in doing the briefings.
Right.
And that's probably why he's the lawyer.
Right. Yeah.
When I studied that and my professor taught that, I went back to my father, who runs his own business and has taught me a lot of things, but he would always, you know, he'd always do things around the house himself and would do the yard work. And I think that was just a value that he was raised with. And I showed him this principle and told him about the lawyer and the secretary. And, you know, since then he still does some things, partly because he enjoys it,
uh-huh.
but not all the time. You know,
yeah.
If you can pay someone to do it, and you can get more done with the time that you would have spent doing it,
exactly.
Do your core competency.
Yeah.
You know, spend more time doing that, and you'll reap far more benefits.
Exactly. The stuff that you're doing right now that you would consider kind of the menial jobs, washing the car, cutting the grass, that type of thing. You
mm-hmm.
can have somebody else do that while you actually are using the time that you would have used for doing that. You can use that on your core competency, like you said.
Right. Well, it doesn't even have to be menial jobs. I mean, it can be an amazing skill. You know, if there's a genius musician who also happens to be really, really good at publicity,
yep.
That doesn't mean that he should be his own publicist.
Right,
he should probably spend as much time as possible on the music and find a pretty good publicist, too.
Right,
now, the good thing about having those talents is you'll be able to recognize what's a good value and what isn't. You know, the lawyer knows what a good typist is.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he has to do it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, if we go back to the internet.
Yeah, I know there was a question in there.
No, but that's perfect. I mean, the examples you're using are absolutely meaningful. You know, as far as the whole package. I mean, you know, not just focusing specifically on things, but look at the whole package. And I think that's extremely important. Now, if we're on the internet, let's go back to your digital products.
Okay.
How do you end up getting a whole lot of traffic to your website? Are you
from
kind of
everything? From everything that I've seen, the best way to get a lot of traffic is to give away something first and develop a viral mechanism for it.
Right.
Okay. Usually the advertorial or an existing list, which is basically the same method. It's about leveraging somebody else's consumers by offering something for free.
Yep.
Okay. Here, the information, the advertorial is valuable information, it's useful information, or it's a sample of your product that works.
Yep.
Okay. A non-working demo is only an advertisement.
Right,
okay.
Yep.
Make a version that does something, and you will see people actually use it and recommend it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
When you have something that's of value to your prospects that you can give away for free, and then you either tell them or incentivize them to tell other people about it, that's where you get the traffic.
Okay. So what about search engines?
You know, if you're not going to go the advertorial route, or especially if it's not something that people talk about as much as they shop for, then probably search engine placement or AdWords would be a viable alternative.
Okay.
You know, maybe... well, but the thing about search engine placement is it's a game. It's not something that you have control over. It's not even something where you can amortize your results over a large number of users. You know, and what I mean by that is when you do direct marketing, yeah, you're kind of playing a game with each respondent. But when you look at a conversion rate, if you get a letter that works and gets 10 people out of 1,000 to respond, which from what I hear in direct marketing is actually, you know, decent.
Yeah.
Not to my standards, but decent.
Okay.
Then you know that probably if you send that same letter to 10,000 people, well, you're going to get, 10 or 100. I don't forget what the math was there. That's a game that you can predict when you put it on a large scale.
Right. Yep.
With the search engines, how many search engines are there that people actually use? I don't know. Maybe 10 at the most?
At the most, yeah.
Where are people really searching? Google, Yahoo, I think those are the two, and they're
that's just it. Other than Google and Yahoo, I can't tell you any of the other ones that I even hear anybody using.
MSN maybe, because it's still on some people's start pages, or AOL if they own it. All right.
Yeah.
So between those, you've got, I'm not looking at the numbers, but I'm guessing 90% of the market share in search engine placement. All right. Now, if you gamble, even money, you know, if you're paying someone for search engine placement, and that's your avenue, and it doesn't work on those four.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else to go.
Right, yep.
You know, that money sunk or that time that you've invested into it is not panning out.
Right, yep.
Now, the way to beat the search engine, if you have to put it that way, is to have relevant content and consistently drive traffic to it.
Yep.
But before you do that, you need to reach your prospects somehow. You need to have a site with integrity. people are always selling different information about, you know, what gets you higher placement today, but it doesn't work tomorrow, because the whole point of a search engine is to provide the most relevant information. If you're not providing the most relevant information, then honestly, you don't belong at the top of the search engine.
Exactly. Yep.
So if you build a site properly and you have the best information and people start telling each other about it, or when people search for it and they do find you and they click on it and they like it, then that sends the right information back to the search engine. That's how you get to the top, and that's how you stay there. You know, that's what the sites that really perform do.
Excellent.
But
so what about then on another aspect, newsletters or e-zines? How would you go about finding one that would be effective that you could promote in there, sending out whether it's a solo ad or, you know, some sort of advertisement to get to them? How would you actually find effective e-zines?
You know, this is a good question. Most of the things that I've ever gone through, mm-hmm. I've already known who the big players were.
Okay.
But if I didn't have that information, I'd probably start with a search engine just to gain some information.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't know it intuitively, then I'll probably just find a couple prospects and either, you know, offer them something free or offer them a discount in the future for their feedback, but ask them what kind of newsletters they subscribe to.
Right, okay.